Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
From ridiculous gimmick matches to utterly outrageous storylines, these are those dreadful ideas you won't believe actual wrestlers really wanted to do. So I am Gareth here from What Culture Wrestling, and here are the 10 worst ideas actual wrestlers came up with. Number 10, Saraya books the worst AEW match ever. AEW wrestlers enjoy a certain degree of creative control. Most are allowed to cut promos in their own actual voice, and others have a bit of an input when it comes to their actual storylines on screen. Now, this is definitely a good thing because AEW is the destination for great promos. But nobody outright books their own arc. Everything is filtered through Tony Khan. Mercifully so in the case of the following pitch. Now, Saraya has recovered from a pretty dismal start where she came in and said she was going to save everybody with her revolutionary presence. Fans weren't exactly into this kind of TNA adjacent development, and Tony Khan swiftly pivoted and just started using her in a different kind of role. She transitioned into more of a heel and used her attitude that she had from the minute she walked into AEW for that character. It's a good thing that Tony Khan decided to do this pivot, because if she was left to her own devices, things could have gone a bit weird very quickly. Because Saraya's ideas do not appear to be, well, that good. Well, one particular idea wasn't that good, at least. You see, one of Saraya's ideas that was actually pitched to DJ Woo Kid at one point would have seen Saraya joining forces with her real-life, quite divisive partner Ronnie Radke in their feud that they were going to have with Chris Jericho, of all people. And that would have actually seen Radke positioned as a babyface in this scenario. And if you're not familiar with this particular bloke, let me just tell you right now, that would not be the best of ideas. He can't wrestle for a start, and then when it comes to the alternate rock scene, he's pretty low, to be honest. So it's probably best that this one never got past the pitch stage. Number 9, Jeff Hardy's insane gimmick match idea. Wrestling has a bit of a problem when it comes to gimmick matches in general. The old standards have succumbed to excess. The ladder match is no longer thrilling, and WWE have bastardized the steel cage match beyond recognition. Moreover, there are a few new gimmick matches that have come along and taken the place, really. After Money in the Bank, not a single promotion has come along and done something different and really exciting that wasn't just kind of a weird upgrade on what's already been before. Just look at AEW's casino versions of Battle Royales and ladder matches. So I'll leave it to Jeff Hardy to come along and save the day with his upward spiral match. Speaking to Alex McCarthy, Hardy actually pitched a match that would have involved the ring spinning at some point, and then it'd eventually stop and then start spinning again even quicker, and then you've got to try and do some wrestling and then amongst all this madness. The cost alone of having to try and create a spinning ring for people to bump and just flail around in probably isn't worth it, Jeff, sorry. Number 8, Tommy Dreamer's sniper pitch. Tommy Dreamer was desperate for you to know that he was hardcore. He'd lose and lose and take an absolute battering every single time just so the fans would will him and want him to win in the end. It was a bit desperate, let's be honest, but it worked out for him in the end, didn't it? But he wanted to take his crusade even further in ECW's heyday, but was talked out of it, and by it, I mean an attempt on his own life. Inspired by the whodunit craze of the 80s and 90s, he wanted to get shot, for realsies, in the middle of the ring. With a gun! But he did actually have a quite clever idea when it came to pulling off this concept. He wanted to play with the lights out trope and have the sniper's laser appear in the darkness. He was then set to feud with the person who would have shot him, like in the aftermath. But Paul Heyman eventually nixed the idea because of fears that a fan could get killed if somebody brought a gun into an arena. Dreamer himself probably could have died in this scenario. It was left to Terry Funk in the end to talk Dreamer out of the idea, but hilariously, it wasn't because of safety that he said, "Now we're not gonna go through with this, Dreamer boy." He actually told Dreamer that it wouldn't draw. His dad actually got shot in a similar angle, but the fans didn't care because after it, he didn't try and kill the guy who tried to kill him. Right then. Number 7, the ghost of Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff was actually not unlike Tony Khan as a booker, in that he surveyed what was going down on the underground and kind of independent scenes, or what was missing from the kind of mainstream wrestling landscape, and then found a way to integrate it into WCW. But Bischoff does differ from Tony Khan in the fact that he's only really had one really truly original idea, that being his bold and patient approach to the character of Sting! And once he effed that up, WCW tumbled into parody. Bischoff did actually have one unique idea though, but Harvey Schiller, the president of Turner Sports at the time, nixed the whole damn thing. Which is just as well, because it sounded absolutely bananas. Bischoff, per 83 weeks, wanted to fake his own death in a helicopter crash in Mexico. Yep, that was an idea that. He reasoned that it may take up to 6 months to verify that he did actually perish there. He would tell only his family and Warner higher-ups actually what was going down with the angle, and it was sure to work too because of the whole 6 months thing, yeah? Except his plan was to turn up at Halloween Havoc as a ghost and haunt all the baby faces. And to be honest, I think that may have concluded the investigation in the end. Yeah, that'll do it. Number 6, Jim Cornette fantasy books The Invasion. You might know Jim Cornette as the guy who grifts his hatred of the elite. But if you're a little older, you may know him as the guy who hates Vince Russo to the point of actually kind of sort of threatening to kill him. Cornette despised Russo for his silly work shoot exposing the business kind of booking. Which is very odd since his fantasy booking of The Invasion angle told to kayfabe commentaries in 2009 required exactly that. Tensions were to escalate between the WWF and WCW when Chris Benoit jumped back down south in this redux. Vince McMahon sent William Regal to WCW to teach him a lesson, and the shots in their match would land just to really highlight how the hatred between the two companies at this moment in time was real. But doesn't that negate everything else on the show as fake? Which is what Cornette has despised about pro wrestling since it went all meta from the 1990s onwards. Or wasn't that idea also a bit redundant because like the heat and the hatred between the WCW and WWF at the time was so real it was the most compelling rivalry on television at the time. Everybody believed it already. Why would you break kayfabe for the one thing that fans already believe in? Madness.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Number 5, Jim Cornette's books FTR versus the Young Bucks. FTR manipulating Hangman Adam Page by first respecting the Elite for elevating the tag team form was a pretty strong storyline development. It put over both Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page and the value of the AEW World Tag Team Championships that they held, because FTR had to orchestrate a master plan just to unseat them as champions. Then, with the gold secured at All Out 2020, the FTR versus Young Bucks part of the rivalry deepened. And the results were not great, even if they did have an absolute classic at full gear. The Bucks started acting like their old transgressive selves, beating up members of the broadcast team backstage. If the idea was to make it feel like you had the 2016 Bucks going up against the 2016 Revival, well, it just didn't really work, did it? But Khan's idea was still a whole lot better than what Jim Cornette had in mind. Cornette thought that FTR should have stiffed and sandbagged the Bucks in like a 9-minute match, which would have been absolutely dreadful, wouldn't it? But in Cornette's mind, this would have been them not going along with their sugar honey iced tea and left the fans wondering ring if this was all a work or a shoot, rather. He tried to justify all of this by saying that the AEW fanbase would understand that this is all some kind of weird double cross going on. Yeah, right. But the AEW fanbase wanted FTR versus the Young Bucks in a dream match, and they got that, so they were kind of happy with that bit, so don't mess with that bit. What is with Cornette's booking when he's not being paid to actually do it? He makes Vince Russo look like Bill Watts. Number four, Bob Holly beats everybody. The man was probably being glib, but it's funnier and not exactly all that unrealistic to imagine that he wasn't, and he was just saying, yep, this is what we should do. In and around the mid-2000s, WWE made the strange call of, like, turning to their roster to ask them what they think we should do creatively. And as infamously recounted on the Something to Wrestle With podcast, Bruce Pritchard remembered that Bob Holly had this kind of strange pitch. And I quote, this is what Pritchard said, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you give me the belt? And then what, Bob? And then I beat everybody." Bob Holly, career Mick Carter, doing the Roman Reigns run, but he don't need no Usos to get the job done. He's gonna do it on his own, baby. Then when everybody got beat, the next round of developmental, guess what's gonna happen to them? They're gonna get beat too. Drew McIntyre is chosen to get his ass beat. The Shield, guess what? Get beat. All those indie thigh slappers, they get their asses beat, beat, beat. It's now 2023. Holly just beat Cody Rhodes. One slap to the face, just like old times. Number three, Paul Heyman works out Mark Henry. Or does he? Now look, this isn't actually a terrible idea. On paper. I've not got any paper on me, so you can see where we're going. But there is some logic to it. The idea is to go back to basics and maximise the value of a performer that WWE only really got right for about 18 months at one point. The thing is, though, it's just very Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's modern booking philosophy is incredibly simple yet effective, provided you've got the right performer to pull it off. He likes to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over to reinforce the effectiveness of the thing. A Brock Lesnar German suplex is the most powerful weapon in all of wrestling. Roman Reigns always wins, lol, even though we could have finished the story three times over at this point. Heyman's formula can just grow a little bit tiresome though, can't it? Like, just taking the Brock Lesnar example, that finisher spamming match died at WrestleMania 38 and it's just never coming back. Or at least it shouldn't. And his big idea to get Mark Henry over was the Chris Masters story. Speaking to Something Awful back in 2016, Heyman said that he had the ability and he had the idea to make the headlock the most effective move in wrestling again by giving it to Mark Henry and making him do it for like 30 plus weeks, just over and over and over again, and cracking heads and just making people go, wow, the headlock, that is exciting. Look, the idea does kind of make sense, yeah, but 32 weeks of a headlock is just not enough to set the heart on fire, is it? Number two, Bobby Lashley tries to get fat. Look, Bobby Lashley couldn't get fat even if he tried. Look at the guy. He's like closing in on 50, I think, at this point, and he's still got more muscles than I could have ever dreamed of. He did, however, wish to try to get fat, as he revealed to Not Sam Wrestling in 2022. Bobby wanted to get beat at one point, put on up to like 70 pounds, go into like a completely different world when it comes to his character, and then get dragged out of it by somebody like MVP, and then over the next weeks and months, however long it took, you'd see him just grow and transition back into being the almighty. In addition to being mildly offensive, like the idea of being fat suddenly making you feel sad is just a bit much even for WWE. It simply wouldn't have worked because people just love watching an absolutely ripped and shredded monster destroy people in the ring. That's what we pay for. Why, in general, is that just so hard to grasp? Why does Lashley feel the need to rip off a story beat from the MCU? Number one, surgically enhanced Goldust. Goldust is a strange character to unpack. It's often said that the character was ahead of its time and uniquely compelling. And all of that is true, of course. But it was also gay panic masquerading as something only slightly less on the nose. The matches were terrible and ultimately, the babyfaces that you were supposed to like acted revolted in his presence. It didn't matter how striking and compelling the gimmick and look and all of it was, this was ultimately Vince McMahon trying to gross you out by the fact that a man likes other men. Frankly, it was remarkable that the WWF managed to talk around it as much as they did. Eventually, the character would grow and evolve into the bit known as the artist formerly known as Goldust. And this saw him mimic various wrestlers and celebrities. And during this period, Goldust unsuccessfully pitched to legitimately enhance his chest with some implants. Yep, that happened. This terrible and hugely problematic idea was mercifully shot down. And it's now probably time to end this list, so let's do that. So, do you know of any other terrible ideas that actual wrestlers had? Well, let me know in the comment section down below, because I want to look at them all and go, wow, what a crazy world we're living in. Bye-bye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.